Well, hello and welcome to the call. This is Ann Holmes from National Association of Baby Boomer Women, and I welcome all of you who are on the call. In a moment, I will introduce our guest, but let me say first of all that, as I said, we are from NABBW and Boomer Women Speak, which are the number one sites on search engines for baby boomer women, and we are delighted to have you with us this evening. We are going to be having a call that's going to be fast and furious and exciting, and as you know, the topic is going to be on how to turn your expertise into a book. Our guest is going to be my good friend and coach for authoring coach, Rhonda Del Baccio. So, Rhonda, let me introduce you a little bit before we get started with the fast and furious part of you having a chance to tell us all these exciting things about how we can turn our expertise into a book. Because we're short on, we're keeping this to be a tight time frame with 30 minutes for content and then up to 30 minutes for people to ask questions, we're going to mute the call until the time that Rhonda has finished her presentation. And so we ask you to hold your questions until then. But let me tell you a little bit about Rhonda. She is, as I said, an author coach, and she's the co-author of a wonderful book called I'll Push You Steer, The Definitive Guide to Stumbling Through Life with Blinders On. And she has two other books that I just can't wait for them to come out. I think they're coming out very shortly. One of them is The Peace Seed, Personal and Global Transformation Through Storytelling. And the other one is The Instant VIP, Insider Secrets to Fame, Freedom, and Fulfillment. Rhonda is a fabulous storyteller, speaker, and mentor, and I am delighted to introduce Rhonda to those of you who are on the call so that we can, I guess, say, take it away, Rhonda, with our first question is, you were going to tell us, how do you know if you truly are an expert? Since we're going to talk about how you can turn your expertise into a book and then that book into a business, what would make us an expert?
Okay, so yeah, that's the first thing you're going to gain from this call is how do you know if you're really an expert? Then we'll talk about the one thing that sets an expert apart from everybody else who's an expert on the same stuff. And then why you must become an author. And finally, seven elements of a profitable book. So let's go with our content and say, first of all, thank you. I'm so excited to give you stuff. I'm like, thank you for the introduction. I'm sorry. I'm like, yeah, let me give them good stuff. So I'm just firing on here. All right. Are you really an expert? And that's a question a lot of people ask themselves. They go, well, I don't know if I'm really an expert. I don't know if I'm really qualified to write a book on something or to write articles on something even. Am I really an expert or not? Well, here's how you know. You can ask yourself questions like these. Are you passionate about your topic or your interest? I know somebody who is really passionate about the history of the television industry. I don't know anyone else is, but I know that he is.
Okay.
He's definitely passionate about that. And when you'll know if you're passionate because it's just something you care about. You want to read about it. You want to know about it. Another question is, can you go on and on about this topic that's of interest to you? My friend can go on and on about the cable stuff and the television stuff. I'm sure if he really wanted to turn that into a business, he could, because there are plenty of people who also do share that interest. And he can go on and on and on. So if you can go on and on, like somebody asks you one question, and you're like, blah, 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 like a motor mouth nonstop, you're definitely an expert, because you can talk on and on about that topic. All right, so do you read books about it? If you read books on a certain area, that definitely is a sign that you either are an expert or you're about to become one. And if you have about 10 books on your shelf about any particular area of expertise and you really do get into them, I don't mean a set of encyclopedias, by the way, folks. But aside from that, or maybe cookbooks, you know, I mean, most of us ladies or a lot of us have, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 cookbooks, but we may or may not be a cooking expert. Like, Ann, you do have a passion for that. And some people don't necessarily have that much passion, and they wouldn't want to write about it, but they just have a lot. But if you have those books and you really interact with them and you're trying to study and learn as much as you can, that's the sign of an expert. And really, if you've read 10 books on a topic, you are definitely an expert. Now, whether you want to turn that into something else is a different question slightly, but that helps determine if you really are an expert. And you're probably more of an expert than you think you are. All right? You can also ask if you critique the way others do whatever this is. So I, of course, write books, and I'm critiquing books all the time. In fact, it's one of the things that helped me develop my system for how to write a profitable book, because I can look at a book and within a couple of minutes tell you, oh, man, either this guy's really leaving a lot of money on the table, there's so much more this author can do, or I can say, wow, this person's really savvy, they're building a relationship, they're making me want to do business with them, I can't wait to do more, this is great. And you can tell just by the elements of the book, and we'll get into that later. But that's something that I definitely do critique, and in the way that others do it as well, of course, as my own.
So you're not like me where I'm just still looking for the typos. You're looking for the profit.
Well, it's good to have to look for the typos in a point, but yes, I'm looking for the entrepreneurial process, and typos do happen, unfortunately. They do happen in published books, and I certainly would like to eradicate them if possible, but on the other hand, we're all human, and what I'm really looking for is, can you make something profitable? And in a recipe, if you're really into cooking, you know, you can taste somebody's cream puff or whatever and go, too much cream of tartar or too little of that, or, oh, it's not thick enough or whatever. You'll do that, and that kind of shows that you're that expert, because you can say with good integrity if something's working or not. So that's a big thing. And if you spend at least 100 hours on whatever it is that you're interested in and studying it, and sometimes you go, well, I don't know how many hours, but if you cannot count them and you're not sure, chances are pretty good you've studied something more than 100 hours. In other words, it's not just a passing interest, that you're really digging into it and you're really wanting to dive into that. So, Anne, I think that pretty well kind of says, if you can answer like at least most, if not all of those questions, and you go, yeah, you know what? I really am more of an expert than I thought I was on whatever.
Okay, that's a good point. But now, you know, we probably could say that there's a lot of experts on real estate, for example. But what would we say if we were going to be a person who wanted to write a book about real estate? What would be the thing that would make an expert stand out so that that person should write a book?
Well, I mean, one thing that really truly does help you stand out is simply having a book. So, yeah, it's nice if that book, you should have something important to say in your book, and I'll get into that in just a moment here, but simply having a book is really a big thing that makes you stand out. So, in other words, there are a lot of real estate experts. We'll use that example since you mentioned it. So, but imagine this. Imagine if there are, you know, 100 different real estate experts in your town or your area. It's probably more, but whatever. There's 100 of them. So imagine the power of, yes, but this is the one with the book. This is the one that wrote a book on how to present your home for before you sell it. Or this is the expert who wrote a book on ways to improve your landscaping before you sell your home, or whatever it may happen to be. And that one with the book is going to be that, it's like it gives you clout. So the book has a lot of power. Yes, it definitely helps you generate leads. So if you're real estate, you want to generate leads, writing a book, anything on real estate at all that relates to it will help you do that. And so it helps you to attract people to you. It helps you to generate leads, to get people to want to do business with you. It is a business card. In fact, Robert Kiyosaki, of Rich Dad, Poor Dad fame, is well known to stand up at live events with his book in his hand and say, and this is my very best business card. And he'll hold up a copy of his book. Mm-hmm. And the picture you see there is a picture of my book, I'll Push You Steer, on the shelf at a local Barnes & Noble store. So having that book, which is what sets you apart, is a relationship-building tool, especially if you write it the way that I'm suggesting, which is in a very friendly manner, much the way that I'm presenting to you and your audience today, Anne. And presenting it in that manner and using it to build relationships through some of the other elements of the book that we'll get into in a few minutes is exceptionally powerful. Because by the time somebody starts reading the book, by the time they're halfway through it, they're already feeling kind of like they know you and they can trust you and they like you and they want to do more with you. So it also, of course, is a good sales tool, and the best produced books are done in such a way that they generate sales of something else, not just books. So if, in other words, if you're just, your book is about $20 and all you have is the book, you're just chasing $20 bills around. But when you use the book to lead into something else, maybe it's some people have a full-blown business and you can do that. But even if you're just starting, you can still use that book to lead. It might be to an organization that you love. In fact, the Peace Seed at thepeaceseed.com is also generating funds for my charity, 10 Million Clicks for Peace. So that one, yes, there are other ways people can interact with me in there, but I'm using that in large way as a fundraising tool and as a credibility tool for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what sets you apart. And you can pick, it's in real estate, it's such a broad topic. I mean, when I mentioned a couple of possible books that are a little bit unusual, you know, how to present your home and how to deal with your landscaping to prepare it, and that there are so many things that no matter what, even if there were five or 10 different or 20 different topics, you would still be very much set apart. If someone, you have a picture of yourself and your book on your billboard or something like that, if you don't have a business yet, but you can use it as a starting point. So maybe your book leads naturally to a 10-part class that you could do either in CDs or a teleseminar format, much like we're using tonight.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, let's talk for a couple minutes about why to be an author. And this is again, that we want to set yourself apart as an author, and here are some of the things it does for you. You're automatically perceived as an expert. And when you watch like a morning TV show and they say, okay, our next segment is about how to prevent nightmares or how to deal with nightmares, who do they bring on as an expert?
Oh, someone who wrote a book about how to prevent nightmares. Or
right. They wrote a book on nightmares or dreams or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're an author, okay? So those are the ones that are going to get that perception as an expert. You're not going to have it as much if you're not an author. As an author, you gain instant respect because the fact that you actually wrote a book and got it published. I mean, if you just walk into a room and your book is kind of tucked under your arm with your name showing, and some people are like, you wrote that? And it's like you become an instant VIP. You really do, simply because you've written a book. And I know that any boomer woman who's on this call is so likely to be an expert in a number of areas.
Oh, absolutely.
So we do so many different things, you know, and so you have that instant respect. You have that instant credibility. If it's between you with a book and someone else with a business card, who do you suppose the person with the problem is going to turn to for help?
Oh, I can't imagine a business card that could be as impressive as a book.
No, it isn't. I don't even care if it's Joel Bauer's big super.
I was just going to say, I saw Joel Bauer with his fancy business card that he said knocks people out, and you know, he talks about, you and I think we were both at a conference where he was talking, and he got me so irritated about his special fancy business cards, but yes.
Yeah. Whoop-de-doo, I have a 100-and-some-page business card that's called a book, and that book trumps your super plastic thing that you can run over with a helicopter, you know. I mean, it's just, the book is going to win hands down. And yeah, of course, we all need, if we're in business, we need business cards. It's a good tool to have. However, having a book is a much bigger deal for you, and it's really that thing that's going to set you apart. And a book will get you media attention. If you want to say, hey, I am an expert on whatever, and, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it's social media, maybe it's real estate, maybe it's cooking pies. Well, okay, if you want a contest or something but you don't have a book, you can probably get some local attention in your newspapers and things locally. But having a book is really going to get you that fast track. If you won a pie contest and you also happen to have written a cookbook on pies, that much better. You'll probably get spots on television and other areas in the local media, much more so, and even potentially the national media if you have the right kind of platform.
Mm-hmm.
So the media attention is definitely something that's open to you. It does make you an instant VIP. Yeah, Anne?
I was just going to say that my understanding of if you're going to be on television especially, you know, everybody aspires to be on Oprah or the Today Show or, you know, some of those types of shows that, that give you such exposure. But what I believe I've understood is that when the booking agents are deciding who's going to be booked on one of those shows, one of the things they're looking for is what kind of visuals have you got, because on television, you know, you're not just a talking head. That can get pretty boring. They want some kind of visuals. So, you know, that's why you see them playing games or you know, doing silly things sometimes with the hosts on the Today Show. But the other thing that they want is for you to have a book, at least a book, that they can put the cover up on the screen and everybody can see that. And, of course, what better publicity for you than having that book cover right on a big show like the Today Show or Oprah. What a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and that's so true. Having a book is great. Having some other thing that you can do along with it, even better. I mean, I saw a great presentation of a book, and this woman actually had a sort of a video presentation, and she had this pointer where she could circle things and whatever, and that's the only time I've ever seen that done. That was very cool. But she, of course, wrote a book as well, so the book cover was part of the visual that they showed, and that's really important. The bigger you want to be with media, you just have to have a book. Like I say, if you're in a small town, you can get local paper coverage with less, but it's not going to go much further than that unless you are an author. But I'm sure that people have another question in their minds, and they go, okay, look, I'm sold. Yeah, I would love to write a book, but how in the heck am I supposed to do that, right?
Exactly. That's the first thing that came into my mind when I was first explained to me that I needed to write a book. And that was why I went running for a coach. You know, that's how you became my coach, is because someone said, Ann, you need to write a book. And I'm going,
okay, but how do I do it? I mean, because if I just said, well, you just go write a book because now you're sold, you know that you want it, and you go, man, that'd be so cool. I want to have that media attention. I want to have that instant respect. I want to have that red carpet VIP treatment. But if I were just to say, go write a book, it's kind of like saying, well, you just go fly that airplane. You have driven a car. It should be no big deal to drive another type of vehicle, right? just go and perform surgery. You've carved a turkey. Surgery is just another kind of carving. I can't just say that stuff to you because it's really not. It's not just, well, just go do surgery. Just go fly an airplane. Just go write a book. There really is a system to it, and it's something that you can, I'm sure, tell from things that I've said that I've definitely put a lot of time and effort into this. And so that's something you want to figure out, and there is that system. I'm going to reveal then the seven elements of a profitable book.
I think that's really important.
Yes, and it is. In fact, I'm actually going to offer everybody a special report on the seven elements of a profitable book that'll go in a little bit of depth, you know, for everybody, and you'll see how to get that soon. But right now I want to talk first about the purpose for your book, because it's really important. You could have all the seven elements and your book could be pretty profitable still, but I really want to make sure the purpose is clear. Your book must solve big problems for your reader, not just to showcase your expertise. Now, I'm a part of this competition right now called the Next Top Spiritual Author, and one of the things I noticed, we all have to do a pitch. And one thing, I was listening to one that I had to critique, and she was like, well, my book is about blah, 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 and I'm giving you this, and I'm giving you that, and I'm giving you a journal, and I'm giving you a blah, blah, blah. And I was like, if I hear the word I in this pitch one more time, I'm going to hurl something.
Okay.
So it's not that this, I'm sure, was a lovely, I mean, I have nothing against the author, and I've never met her. I'm sure she's a wonderful person. I know she has a powerful message, and her topic sounds interesting, but the way she said it was not really so much like, think of it this way. If I said, well, Ann, here's how you're going to benefit from this, and that's why I started the call off with saying, here's basically the four things that you are going to get on this call tonight. It's one more than we even advertised. So
right. That is exactly true.
Right, but you know, I said, this is how you're going to benefit from the call, and here's what you're going to gain as an author, and see how different that feels than, well, I want you to know this, and if I give you this, and I do that for you, it's very different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your book is going to solve a big problem for people, the kind of problems that make people, either that make them toss and turn and pull their hair out, or if it's around a passion, you know, like dogs or computer games or whatever, maybe it's a way to enjoy it more, to do better, but it has to be something people really are going to be clamoring for.
Mm-hmm.
And you also want to crawl inside the head of that person who is needs your solution the most, who needs your material the most, and you're going to speak right to them and write it from their perspective. So that's going to be an important thing for you to do in your book. Okay, so now you wanted to know those seven elements, right? And this is what we're going to do. You ready?
Sure.
All right. So here are the seven elements. The first three are here on our webinar screen right now, along with the graphic from the Peace Feed book. So that first thing is going to be expert endorsements and inclusions, meaning there could be a foreword, there could be a preface, there could be maybe a chapter that's by an expert. Endorsements, meaning there could be a, you see those on the cover quite a bit, but they might also be inside the book as well as in the cover. If
okay.
people are saying great thing in the book, I have a quote from Jason Oman for the Instant VIP book that's coming out and from some other people. So when you're able to get those before the book comes out and include them in there, that's really great for you because it shows that someone else already says you're great. And if it's an industry leader or some other expert that's well-respected, another author perhaps, they're going to be like, wow, that person says you're good. So you have an automatic trust factor just from that.
Okay, now that I know it's really important, and I don't know if we've got time in our tight schedule here to talk about it, but I know that when I was first told that, being coached on writing my book, it was very daunting for me because I was thinking, how am I going to call up experts and say, hey, here I am, I'm Ann Holmes, I've written this book, and I'd like you to tell people how great it is. Do you have any hints on how to get those endorsements, or do we have to save that for another call?
That can be another call, but I'll give you the short answer, Ann, is when you want to catch the attention of someone who's a big name, is you find them and you try to do them a favor or help them spread their message or do something cool for them. And pretty soon they'll say, is there anything I can do for you? And you'll say, well, yes, as a matter of fact, would you be willing to check out, maybe either read a couple of chapters or check out my book? And if you feel inclined, I would really appreciate it if you might write something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you go up to those big names and you do them a favor first. I just reached out recently to John Heritron, who's a multiple best-selling author and just a very deeply spiritual and wonderful person. And when I first reached out to him, I called him on, I actually got him on the phone, not even his assistant, when I called. And I spent 3 or 4 minutes raving about this call that I had heard and about one of his books. I first asked him if he had a couple of minutes, and I started by praising him. And then I mentioned, a couple of things that I wanted to do and for him and asked about if there was something that I could do for him.
Okay, so I can see what you're saying is he's much more likely to be willing to talk to you because you've shown him that you know who he is, really, and you aren't just, going through the phone book and calling experts and saying, hey, how about endorsing me?
Yeah, and if you do it, if you just say, do this for me, and they don't know you from Adam, they may or may not do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one element. The next element is an introduction that's written in a friend over a coffee style. Really, your whole book should be that way. But think of the introduction. That's really going to be the first time when people are sitting down with you to read this book. They may not know you at all. They may never have heard of you, but they thought your book looked cool.
Mm-hmm.
So when you write in a friend over a coffee style for the introduction, it sets the tone for the rest of your book. Okay? The next thing you want to do is to have instructions for how to get the most out of this book. In other words, if you say, well, here's a website and there's a journal, or there's some gift for you, or there's something else that'll help you, or I want you to first do this and then do that, whatever, you give people those instructions early on, and you know that probably most people may not even see that, but at least it's there for them. And if you're saying, here are questions, I want you to write those answers, and then I want you to go to this online community or whatever it is, you want to tell them. So that really helps you. Of course, another element is chapters. I mean, that's like, well, duh, but there has to be some way of dividing the book into bite-sized chunks. It may not be chapters in the traditional way, but some way that it's kind of divided up into bites for people so that they can, if you will, consume or digest your material in a way that makes sense. If you just had 200 pages of nonstop words with nothing else to break up the pages, it would feel very daunting to people.
Mm-hmm.
And the next element, you're going to have stories in each chapter. And, of course, I don't have tons of time, but I've already told you a couple of stories in the course of this call.
Right.
And the stories make it much more memorable. And I made
really
the point
draw you in.
Yeah, much more so than only delivering the facts. I mentioned that thing about John Hirschhorn. You're going to remember that example and how I handled it to get ultimately something that will help me, but by helping him first.
Right.
One thing that's really a big thing that's missing in a lot of books is a special invitation and a call to action, meaning after the book, most people say, well, I hope you enjoyed this book, the end, that type of thing. And that is so wrong. Every time I see that, I go, no, it's not the end, it's the beginning. It has to be a call to action, which maybe that is go to this website or you know, get here's some kind of an event. Maybe there's a home study course. Maybe there's a free 10-part mini class or whatever, but make sure there's some kind of a next step call to action. And another thing would be a bonus gift, and this can be used actually to build your subscriber list, because if people buy a book in a bookstore instead of from your website, you won't know who bought it. But if you say, hey, if you go over to such and so website, I'm going to have some kind of gift that will make this experience even more cool for you.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the seven elements, Anne, of writing that profitable book.
Excellent. They're
and yeah,
very useful. And the bonus thing reminds me, if I can digress just for a second, that I think that you are going to tell people in a minute about a special gift for those people on the call, because I know you mentioned that earlier. But I was in such a rush to get the call going that I neglected to mention, as I was talking about the NABBW, that we also have another special bonus gift from you this evening, which is for anyone who's listening to the call and is not currently a member of the NABBW but would like to join the NABBW. And if you're interested in joining, you can go to the homepage of NABBW, which is, of course, at nabbw.com, and there's a button up on the top of the page that talks about here's where you go to sign up to become a member of NABBW. But once you've signed up to become a member, the next thing I'd like you to do would be to send me an email and tell me that you've signed up and that you signed up because of this teleseminar that Rhonda and I are doing here this evening, because when you do, she's got a wonderful extra bonus for you, which is a teleseminar she did recently with Sally Shields, who's another author of a book that I really have enjoyed called The Mother-in-Law Rules. And it's a telecall about what you called it, what, Author Publicity Secrets Revealed, What the PR Firms Don't Want You to Know. And we'll give you this free as a bonus for joining as a result of this call. It's a $97 value. Is what Rhonda, you told me that it was a $97 value, and I actually want to endorse that is very true. I listened to the call earlier today, and being as the fact that I used to run a PR firm and I used to charge clients for helping them to promote their services and businesses, I can certainly tell you that the material that you reveal in those secrets is, you know, I think we used to charge $150 an hour to coach people and train and work with people at our PR firm. So for $97, you're giving them a fantastic amount of material there. But the fact that it's a free bonus for joining the NABBW is an even better, wonderful gift as far as I'm concerned. So anyone who's listening to the call live here or who happens to catch the teleseminar through the end of the month, through the 30th of April, I'm going to make that bonus available to you. So
excellent.
Now
well,
that I've derailed you totally, Rhonda, we can talk.
We're rapidly running out of time. But anyway, I also do have, for those of you who are listening, I'll give you the special report on the 7 elements of a profitable book. And you can email me, Rhonda@ProfitableStorytelling.com, R-O-N-D-A, Rhonda@ProfitableStorytelling.com. Just let me know you heard about it on this call, and I will get it to you. And I'll just let you know really quick that you can become a published author, and you know some of the great things that will happen. And, of course, first you have to write the book. And for those of you who want continuing education on that, I do have a home study course that will help you. There are 13 modules. Anne was there for the live class when we did it. Now it's therefore in the recordings for you. There are things like keeping the flow going, knowing your ideal customer, building your profit funnel, easy writing templates for your chapters to help you write your chapters, and promoting your book and much more. And so there is a big link at the bottom of the page there that will actually help you to get to this call, and you can click that big button down there and pick up that home study course. And so you're going to have, one of the things is a half-hour consultation, and that alone, if I charge you for that, would cost you twice as much as the whole course. So
wonderful.
That's going to be a good bonus for you. So that would be a half-hour consultation.
Excellent. Wonderful bonus.
Yeah. Thank you. So this is just really lots and lots of fun, and I'm really appreciative, and I'm excited to be able to get to some questions for people. And so I'll start with any that you have, of course, but I just am so excited, and thank you for everybody. And I just want to make sure, if you haven't joined NABBW, be sure to do that. There are some tremendous tools and resources for you as a member.
Well, thank you very much, Rhonda. That's wonderful. You kept true to your word, and I think we might be a little bit over the half-hour mark, but I don't think anybody is going to complain because that's only a couple of minutes. So I have transferred the call to interactive mode, so anyone on the call can talk and ask a question. And let me start by asking you if you could give us an example of how having a book has helped you to generate other business or develop the business that you have as an author.
I sure will, but I also would just like to pause and remind folks, if you're listening through the computer, you can also put your questions in the question box there, and I will be happy to answer those, and Anne's going to be able to read those for me. So I just wanted to remind you, if you're on the phone, you can interact with us, but also through the webinar, if you're listening through computer, you can still ask a question, and I would be absolutely delighted. Okay, so how has a book really helped me personally in my business? It's just, you say the author of whatever, and automatically it really has opened some doors for me. And I remember just being at a seminar and just kind of holding my book and carrying it with me the whole time. And when somebody a couple of times from the stage mentioned my name, when I stood up, I actually held my book in the air. And so I guess I'm a shameless self-promoter, but on the other hand, that's a good thing to do. Because then I actually had a couple of people come up and start talking to me that were certainly much more advanced in their business than I was, and were interested in doing a joint venture with me because of the fact that, partly I'm sure it was that I saw I was an author. Obviously, it was the other things that I do too, but I just know how much that helped. Also, as an author, I have appeared on television, and you can see that clip at ProfitableStorytelling.com/TV. And I was on our local ABC affiliate up in Springfield, Missouri, with our book, Bonnie and Myself. Well, yeah, that was fun. And, of course, as the new books are coming out, I'm anticipating that. And I have actually, from my book, a couple of radio interviews that are coming up soon. And so, I mean, it's just really great. And there's no way that, I mean, you can be a speaker or whatever, but you're just nothing really until you actually have a book written with your name on that cover.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I have a couple of other questions, and I'll ask mine until anybody else jumps in, and I believe the lines are open, so anybody can jump in. But one of the questions that I think that in the people that I've worked with, helping them to develop a business, Rhonda, a lot of times I find that when I first start working with someone, they'll come up to me and they'll say, well, I want to start a business, or I want to, and the same thing would be, I want to write a book, but I don't know what it is that I know that anybody would pay money for. And, you know, we talked about a little bit about turning your expertise into a book and how do you know if you're an expert, but can you give us any ideas or suggestions on if a person is thinking, hey, you know, with the economy the way it is these days, I've got to come up with some kind of a income generation mechanism, and maybe writing a book could be it, but would people actually, is there anything that I know that I could turn into a book? Now, for example, you mentioned pies, and certainly there are people that have made money as cookbook authors, but and certainly most of us can cook. So, but how do you determine that an area of knowledge that you have is something that other people would think is worth spending money on?
Well, and there's a couple of things, and that, of course, is a really good question. One of the things is there's this difference between, is it just something that you prattle on and on about, or is it actually something that people come up to you and ask? So my friend with his love of television technology, he can prattle on and on about it, and he is an expert in it. And I think if he found the right audience, he might could sell a book on it, but it would have to really tie into something where people, other people really care.
Mm-hmm.
So are people coming up and asking you, oh, what's your recipe for pies, or how do you do that? If people ask you, how do you do that, or, wow, that's amazing, I can't imagine, you know, how that happens, or whatever, those kinds of things. If you find that people are constantly asking you whatever, I know this person who has such a gift for photographing animals,
mm-hmm.
and I was saying, how do you get these animals to basically, it's as if they're coming and posing for you, as if they're in a, you know, in a studio, and they're going, oh, well, you're here with your camera. I'm going to face you and look right at you with my head cocked so you can get a great picture.
Uh-huh.
She actually does have a system for that, and she does talk about it in one of her books. So if there's a question where people ask you how you do that, or they come up to you for a, and it, sometimes it's something like baking a pie or photography, and sometimes it could be a really deep problem. Like there's one person I know that she says every married couple that she's ever known, it seems like, has asked her for a marriage help, because she and her husband have been together for 28 years, and they are still very obviously affectionate with each other and still love each other. And in an era where, you know, the first sign of a fight, people break up, it seems like. And so that would be an area for her where she could be definitely do really well. Not only, and you have to only think not only about the book, can you write a book about it? Well, you're sure you can write a book on anything, but as far as really turning it into a profit stream, you have to think, well, what else could there be? And if you don't have a home study program, or you don't have something else to go along with it,
mm-hmm.
right now, but that's where you can find affiliate products. And if you just type in to a Google search affiliate products plus whatever word, you'll probably be able to find some. You can also go to a place like ClickBank, clickbank.com, and find products that are related. Those can be anything from different technology solutions, but there's also things about exercise and about health and relationships and all kinds of things that people could get from the ClickBank product. And if you think, well, people who like my book would also really benefit from this other thing, like when you see that at Amazon, people who bought this book also bought that book.
Right.
Or people who bought this also are interested in that. You think about that for your own book and you find out. If you really go, man, the people that like my stuff would really love Think and Grow Rich, or The Science of Getting Rich. Well, I know a great affiliate program for you where you could also sell that product to people who would buy your book. So as they come and they get on your list because of your free bonus and stuff, and you can write them messages and talking about things in your book and whatever else you're doing. But if you don't have other products yet, you can just say, you know, hey, here's something that's really great, and here's why I like it, and whatever. So it doesn't only have to be your own stuff, because I know some people go, well, okay, I can imagine writing a book, and yes, I'm an expert in blank, but I'm just not sure what else to do yet, or I don't have a full business. And the other thing is that inside of my system, the way that I teach you is before I really let you write the book. Of course, you're free to read the book in whatever order you want, but the way I have things organized, before you write your book, you get really clear on your purpose for your life and for your business, and you get clear on what you want your profit funnel to be. So in other words, besides the book, what else is there going to be, whether that's your stuff or someone else's? And there are easy ways to create things, but that kind of gives you an idea to get started with.
Okay, so profit funnel, that's a good term that people on the call may not be familiar with, but obviously you could probably think in terms of, you know, a funnel. And so the concept of what you're saying there is that you're going to have, there has to be, as you mentioned earlier, more than just the one book, because the
right.
profit, the amount of profit that you make from a sale of a book is really not that large. And I think that
right.
you said in the past that, and I know you say this in your course, you talk about the concept of how you're going to get it published, and that, you know, self-publishing is probably the way that you're going to make more per book than if you work with a major publisher. Although on the other hand, you might think it's really impressive to be able to say, oh, Wiley or Doubleday or Putnam or you know has picked up my topic
right.
and wants to publish me. But what you've said is that isn't really going to be that lucrative for you. So I guess I've maybe got two questions here. One is to go back to something that I've heard you talk about with one of your people that you've worked with, Ben Mack. He has written a book called Think Two Products Ahead. So I think what
yep.
you're saying with the funnel is the concept of needing to think ahead beyond your book.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not published the book yet, where will you take people after they buy the book? And then if
right.
we have people on the call listening that have written the book and they're saying, okay, what's next?
Right.
You're saying we need to think about that two products ahead kind of a concept.
There are probably about five questions in there. So given the
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's actually great. But given the limitations of time, I'll tackle what I can right now. And if folks are really excited and want to know more, I'd be happy to come back. So your people, you guys can let me know. But and I'll try to go and be a nice girl and hang out in the forums, too.
Okay.
I haven't done that yet. No, I am a member.
You are a member, but you're just a new member, so you haven't had a lot of
I'm
chance to be in the forum.
Yes, I've just joined this month, and I've had company in town for a lot of it. So, but anyway, yeah, so there are a lot of questions in there. But first of all, let me just mention the funnel a little more in detail. If you ladies think about, you have a funnel in your kitchen, like you use for cooking, and let's say you lay it on the counter with the tip pointing up, because we're not really going to pour anything into it exactly, but we want to think of that tip as being what could be, maybe there could be a product that might cost $1,000 or more. Could be coaching for one person. It's these special adventure spiritual travel things that cost about $4,000 to $8,000. You know, something of higher end. And you may go, well, I don't know what that would be. But for many people, if you think about, like the way that my system is organized, that someone can, yes, you can get the whole system in an ebook that's and with additional resources that's like a $37 point, and so that gives you the whole system. But then if you want more, that kind of gives you the overview, and if you want a little deeper, then there's the home study program, and then if you want personalized help, because some people, they get the home study and they go, yeah, that's all really good information, but I really need someone to, like, you know, glue my butt to the seat and make sure I start typing. Well,
exactly.
I can't go that far. That's, again, a higher end. Now, I can do that. I can come to your place, your location, and glue your hiney to the seat and sit with you and make sure that you write it. And that, of course, will cost you at least $10,000, but I can do that. but, for, you
do
know, so there are
two
levels. Come? Pardon me?
I said, if you come to my house and glue my butt, do I have to feed you and everything too?
Yes, absolutely, you do. Unless you want me here. No, but I mean, so that's the idea. Is there are different levels? So I have, of course, I actually don't really have you know, necessarily, although I will, if somebody really wants to pay me for that, I'd be happy to do it. But I do have an individual coaching. So if somebody says, well, you know, the home study is okay, but I can just never have the discipline. Well, with home, with the coaching, I have an appointment with you every week, provided that you send in your homework. And of course, it's your book. I don't write it for you, but at least that gives you some help. So think about, with your material, can you put it so that the same thing that goes into a book, like I can literally pick up any part of the book and teach a workshop from it and give other material. So, you know, that's the type of thing that you probably can do. So if you can write a book about pies, okay, that's one level. Can you have maybe a video series demonstrating the technique of how you do these things with the pies? Okay, so a video demo thing is great. Can you teach a weekend pie cooking workshop, or can you teach a two-hour workshop? Maybe some will be free or cheap in your area that you just teach a pie cooking class. Maybe it only costs people, you know, 10 or 20 bucks, but you're using that kind of to feed yourself leads and maybe get them to buy the book then after the class, and maybe get them to buy the DVDs or whatever. So there are just a lot of ways that you can do it, but you do want to think ahead and go, well, what else? Because I do know this guy that wrote a travel book about his travels to wherever it was, somewhere in Africa or whatever. And I met him, and he was basically like shoving his book under people's nose. I mean, literally, and then saying, that'll be 20 bucks.
Oh.
And like, no. And people would hand the book back and go, no, I don't think so. Because he wasn't getting involved with the need. And I said, so what else do you have? And he said, well, nothing. So I said, so you're chasing $20 bills around. You're just trying to do anything you can. Well, how rewarding is that? I mean, if you're going to make a sale, yes, you may start with a book, but just think that there must be some other things there. That's why I've mentioned affiliate products, that you might earn a commission, 30 or 50% or whatever, things where you can earn a commission even if it's not your own stuff. You want to have other streams of profit, because a book in itself is nothing. I mean, you know, the Pea Seed is a $5 book. Well, I had a large number of those produced so that the cost is down for me on my side, but still it's not enough to build a career on, because how much can you just sell the same book and expect that that alone is going to do it? Where you make money is these other areas, the speaking engagements, workshops, DVDs, CDs, teleseminars, webinars, whatever. Those are going to be your real sources of income. The book is primarily a credibility tool. And you may make some money, some serious money on it, but don't count on that to be it, because then you're not as likely to do it with that.
Okay.
Okay.
What about the importance of research? We've talked about thinking about what you know and what you have knowledge of, and then writing a book about that knowledge. But what if your knowledge is very esoteric? You know, like you're an expert on ancient Roman coins, for example. Perhaps you might think, maybe I'm going to throw in here that they should do a little bit of our listeners should do a little bit of research to find out how many other people are interested in ancient Roman coins before you decide that's my special area of knowledge that I want to write a book about.
Yeah, that type of research. It's not so much the researching your topic or whatever, although you may have to do that. And what I tell people while you're writing is, if you determine that you need to look up a fact, just write yourself a note. Look up the such and so on this coin or whatever. But as far as whether people are actually wanting it, well, you can bet if there is a collector's association for ancient Roman coins, there would be a market for it. There's the Society for Creative Anachronism people. A lot of those would be very interested in that. If you can find that there is an audience where people are paying attention to that stuff, and if you're an enthusiast in something that's that specific and particular, you probably know, where do the other people that like this stuff hang out? But, and that's really a question everyone needs to ask yourself. Where do my people hang out who would want my stuff? Where are the people that eat pies? Where are the people that collect Roman coins? Where are the people that are into pewter Civil War figurines, whatever it may happen to be, and find out where they are? And there are research tools that, again, that's a whole other topic, but there are, yes, you definitely want to research. There are ways to figure out in the search engines between who is actually looking for stuff and who is actually providing stuff and selling stuff. And you also want to look for commercial intent. So if people are looking for coins or CDs or clothing or DVDs or something, then they're not just looking for info, they're actually looking to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So like if there's something like yoga clothing, pewter figurines, old coins, whatever, those would be commercial intent, meaning people spend money for it. If that's how you're going to help to determine if there's an interest.
Excellent. Now, what about, besides the concept of people having an interest in something, I think from some of the comments that you made early on that another area would be dealing with, you know, I think you mentioned about people getting emotional about things is likely to make them, like, buy. So,
mm-hmm.
so would a good topic for a book be about something that people are afraid of? You know, how to...
Sure.
How to prevent something or...
Yeah, how to stop something, how to get rid of it. Sometimes it will be a passion, like with Roman coins. I mean, no one is going to lose their house about a Roman coin or lose sleep necessarily, but they may have a passion for it. You know, just because maybe you and I don't, we don't get it, but there are people who do. And it's that kind of thing. So if a lot of times there are problems that people have, the main things that people have issues around are health, money, and relationships. And so if whatever you do touches one of those things, so then you could do that. Right. So, and if you can also, if it's something that can appeal to people's vanity or greed in some way, I mean, say people wanting to look better, look younger, that's partly a relationship to health. But you know, that kind of thing. If it's a relationship type of issue, if you can help people get along better with their spouse, if you can help people overcome something or whatever, those kinds of things are really big. And so that's why it's generally going to be either a big passion or a big problem that your book will address.
All right. So, wonderful. I mean, this is really, I hope, given a lot of people some ideas, because we all have some kind of expertise, and what you're saying is we can turn it into a book and then take that book and turn that book into a business.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. A lot of businesses start, when you think about it, for example, there's a website that's called theknot.com, which is all about weddings. Part of, I believe that is the site, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I'm pretty sure The Knot is the one where it got started because this person had such a disaster. It's like everything went wrong at her wedding. There's problems with the musicians. There are problems with the church. There are problems with the reception. There are problems with the flowers, on and on. And it was like it was a disaster, and she didn't want other people to have to go through that. So she developed this site and found ways to vet resources and to basically prove if they're worthy, in other words,
mm-hmm.
And make sure that those are available. So a lot of businesses come from that very type of issue where it's solving a problem, it's meeting a need for people in some way. And so it becomes a really big deal. It may become from your own life. As a friend of mine, Ken Jensen, he had bipolar disorder, and he used to be on, I think, 120 different medications.
Oh, my
goodness.
I can't keep track of that.
I can't swallow three pills. You know, I don't know how he swallowed it in, you know, all these pills every day. And he searched and searched and searched, and finally, with all of this, and being, it's imagining that you're mentally really kind of off and that you're still able to find anything at all is pretty remarkable. But he finally found that a combination of a couple of things really helped him, and he eventually has gotten well, and he's now running his own business. He did write a book about it, which is called It Takes Guts to Be Me, How a One Ex-Marine Beat Bipolar Disorder. So a lot of times from your own pain, from your own issues, is where you're going to find the core of a business idea in a book.
Excellent. Good advice. I know that many of us, for example, might be caretakers, have parents who are being challenged in some ways that are causing them pain and challenging us in dealing with helping them, or especially if we're helping them from a distance, as I know many of us have to do. We don't all live
right.
in multi-generational households, although that's happening more and more now with boomerang kids, but mostly not. So I think that's great advice. There must be a lot of people who have learned to become experts to deal with some particular personal situation, just as Ken did, and can turn that into a business. And that's a wonderful thought for us to leave people with. I do want to say, we don't want to just monopolize the call here. If the people that are on the call, if anyone has a question, please feel free to speak up. We'd love to hear from you.
Hi.
Yeah,
it's,
well, put your question
in chat. It's Suzanne. Can you hear me?
Hey.
Yes.
I just wanted to say it's been great information. I had a question about building your platform, and I also wanted to say that the book together is Simple Strategies to Stay Sane, Healthy, and Professional When Your Parent Has Alzheimer's.
Excellent.
I've been doing blog posts and various small pieces that will all come together into a book. But there are a lot of choices now with social media and so forth. What's your feeling about building a platform, and how important are those as part of your platform?
It's mission critical. In other words, it doesn't really matter if you're publishing through, Hampton Roads or some other publisher, or whether you're self-publishing, that because any of us can be a small voice crying in the wilderness on the Internet, can be doing it very publicly. But there are a number of things, and a piece of that is using the kinds of keywords that people would be putting into Google to look for the solutions that you're offering. So part of it is about that. And a big issue of it is around that platform. So, and the biggest thing that you can do that will help to make your life loads easier is you find where are these other people that are dealing with this situation already hanging out and having conversations, so that you can then kind of insert yourself into those conversations and they'll start to trust you and your expertise and so forth. And, then once your book is available or whatever, you'll be able to share that. So if you go where there's already conversation, yeah, you have to do Facebook and Twitter at least these days, even if those are all you do, but you want to be there. I just can't get over how it seems like everything has a Facebook fan page and everything's on Twitter. So you want to make sure that you have that presence there.
There would also be forums, right, Rhonda? Wouldn't there be forums that have to do with Alzheimer's?
Yes, there would be forums. And if you go to, there's a place called Board Reader, BoardReader.com. You can put in the word Alzheimer's or other phrases in there and find out where people on forums are talking about that right now. Okay, so that's
great
one
resource I haven't heard of before. Thank you.
Yeah, BoardReader.com.
Board, B-O-A-R-D?
I'm sorry. BoardReader. Yeah, it is BoardReader.com. Yeah, so that's a good resource, and that helps you instead of having to chase around finding forums through Google
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Yeah.
That'll show you all the conversations that are happening. And if you go into these forums, just go in with the mind of, look, I'm just here to provide what service I can, that kind of a thing. Not, I'm going to go in and promote my stuff, but I'm going to go and be of service. And people will recognize that, and they will start paying attention to you, and you'll have platform that way. The other thing that John Creamer of Bookmarket.com is a tremendous resource, and John Creamer has a book, 1001 Ways to Market Your Book, which is also, we kind of call it the Bible of book publicity. But one of the techniques that he recommends for building platform is that you go and not only write on your blog, but put your content onto the 20 most popular or most visited websites in your particular niche. So you find where are the most active conversations about Alzheimer's and caretaking for Alzheimer's patients. So I'm sure there might be iVillage. There's probably a bunch of them within Yahoo and maybe WebMD and different things. You find where you can actually post content, and you reach out to those places. If you have to ask permission, you just reach out to them and say, hey, here's some of my experience. May I post an article, and they may